What more appropriate thing on Christmas Eve than to read the Christmas story? Let me read to you from Luke chapter 2, first 20 verses, very familiar passage, especially this time of year. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Amen.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul was born. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppressions shall shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise His holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise His name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. On night divine, on night, on night divine. Fall on your knees, or hear the angel voices on night divine, on night when Christ was born, on night.
Praise God.
I asked him to do that so that I would get a standing ovation before I came up. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I knew that that was a song I wanted to hear this Christmas, as I do, one of my favorites. Christmas is a wonderful time, is it not? It is not just because of the festivity, but because of what it signifies. We love the whole season. I do. It's one of my favorite times of the whole year. And not just as it's one day, but because there's such a buildup and anticipation and everything that, whether it's cumulative of the year or all the festivities and the family get together, there's so many things that go into that. And there's so many different stories that go into the Bible that you can latch into this, because it kind of is a collision of so many lives. But recognize what Christmas truly is about. Christmas is God coming to the world and entering into it. Whether people want him or not, he's coming. Whether he's been invited, he's there. When Jesus comes into the world, it is God entering into humanity, where they are. He comes in a manger. He comes in an unacceptable reservation where he has to sleep with animals. With middle class people, where he isn't just coming for the rich or for the powerful or the eloquent or the educated, the movers and the shakers. He's coming for everybody. And therefore, when you think of Christmas, you think of a son that was given, but God coming to earth, entering into our lives, coming into the city of Bethlehem. And the thing you need to know about Christmas is that it does not end at that night. When you read through the Gospels, what do you find Jesus doing over and over? He is entering into cities. He is entering into people's lives. He is coming, whether they invited him or not, he is into them. He is making demands. He is challenging them. He is right there healing them, changing them. Christmas never stops. That's the gospel story. It's not just one night and he's here and we celebrate a baby. No, that's leading somewhere. It's the beginning of multiple entrances, multiple invasions into people's lives, until ultimately he goes to the cross, and then through his Spirit he invades and challenges us to respond to his life. So that Christmas is something which you are constantly having to respond to, not put in a box in the attic and take down the decorations and then move on to something else. It's the beginning of God always entering into it. Now here's the story I want you to see. A Christmas story that comes out of the Christmas story, where Jesus is entering into a life. And the life is a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Usually you don't think about tying that into Christmas because this happens many years later. Instead of Luke 2, you go to Luke chapter 19. And there you have the familiar story of the little man who's the tax collector named Zacchaeus. But before you get into that, in order to read the Bible correctly, you have to do something which they call read into the context, which is, okay, what does it say before they get into chapter 19? What does it say in chapter 18? And then you see how Jesus is entering into people's lives, which is why he came to begin with. To begin the chapter of 18 of Luke, he talks about widows and uses a parable of the persistent widow who's knocking on the door like in prayer and says this is how God is going to respond, not just to the religious elite, but to a poor, helpless widow who doesn't have anybody and she's pleading to God. He came for that. Then he finds a tax collector who is repentant of his sin. And he says, I've done so many horrible things. God, I'm not worthy of that, of any grace. And he says, compared to Pharisee, this one has his sins forgiven. And then it moves on to children. And instead of children being rebuffed, they are to come unto him. Widows, repentant tax collectors, the scandal of society, little kids, there they're all supposed to come. That's the lives he's coming to rescue. That's all in chapter 18. And then you find someone who is the opposite of that, the rich young ruler. He's not a kid. He's a young man, prime of life. He's not poor. He's wealthy. He is an influential figure. He's a ruler. He has political responsibility. And he claims to have kept the law of God. So here's a guy who claims to have integrity in a political office, who's well off. It seems this is the ideal person to follow Jesus. But when Jesus then offers himself to him, the man walks away. Because Jesus challenges them to say, you've got something else. I'm not a set deal that comes along in addition to a main course. I am the main course. You have your wealth. Now you need to get rid of that because that's a stumbling block. He wouldn't do it. And he walks away from the one that the widows are pleading for, the children are approaching, the beggar, or just to say the penitent sinner is calling out for forgiveness. Here's a guy who then has everything, but he doesn't need Jesus. Jesus comes into the world and he walks away from Christmas because I have got what I already need in life. And then we get into the final conclusion of chapter 18. And Jesus goes to a city. He enters, not Bethlehem, Jericho. Jericho of old, where the walls fell down during the times of Joshua. But now this is New Testament Jericho. And when Jesus goes into this city, he meets two people that are given names. And we don't see the comparison because they're separated by chapters. But they are lined up together to say, this is what Christmas is about. The first is a blind man named Bartimaeus, who is outside of Jericho. And he's wanting to call out, but he can't see. He can't see Jesus. Jesus is walking by, but he can't see him because he doesn't have eyesight. And he's begging. He has no money. And Jesus stops for him because he kept calling out, have mercy upon me, have mercy upon me. Jesus says, what do you want? He goes, I want to see. Okay, then as your faith, so you may see. And he jumps up, seeing, following after Christ. Then Jesus goes into the city, and that's when he meets Zacchaeus. He's not a beggar, he's a rich man. He's not blind physically, he can see. But what's Zacchaeus' problem? He can't see Jesus. Why? Because he's too little. So he has to climb into a tree to see him. Doesn't ask Jesus anything. Jesus does the talking from then. And then we realize that blind Bartimaeus and seeing Zacchaeus are no different. They're both blind. One is physical, one is spiritual. One is a beggar, the other one has wealth, but he truly is impoverished. And Jesus is going to come to that guy's house. Pick up in the story, Luke chapter 19. He entered Jericho and passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector. We'll come back to that in a minute. And was rich. It emphasizes that. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead, climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, and he was about to pass that way. So here's the entrance to the story. Jesus is now walking toward Jericho, and he's passing by. Some guy can't see him, calling out to him, and Jesus stops, enters into his life, gives him sight. The man becomes a follower. He wants to follow. He says, no, you just go and tell. You're not going to be part of my specific band, but you can still be a witness here in Jericho. Comes into the city with the same entourage. And here's another guy who actually is spiritually blind, and he physically can see, but he's jumping around. He can't see where Jesus might be. He knows he's there somewhere, but the man is hated. He's not going to be given a front row seat. The reason why is he's not just a tax collector. He is the chief tax collector. Now, tax collectors are more than guys who just work for the IRS and collected revenue for the government. If they were Jewish, and Zacchaeus is Jewish, they were collaborators with the takeover nation that people hated. And if you collaborated with that kind of government, you yourself were godless. But worse than that is that the Roman military would protect you. You could get out of the people whatever you wanted. They would get their cut, you could get your cut and call it all the Romans. But everyone knew these people were exorbitant taxes. They were asking for a lot more. And so the people hated. They'd kill them if they could, but the Roman soldiers would protect them. So this is the chief guy. So he's got a number of people underneath him. He is the richest guy probably in town, but he's the most impoverished. And now he wants, for whatever reason, we don't know. He hears about Jesus, and rather than being indifferent like the rich young ruler, he wants to see him. But he can't. And so all he can do is climb up into a tree and hopefully get a peek at this man coming by. And that's when Jesus notices him. He can't see Jesus, but Jesus sees him. You pick it up in chapter 19, verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay. Catch that. Lodge, stay there. I'm not just coming in for an hour and have a biscuit with tea. I'm coming in there to live, okay? And I'm going to do that today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, that is all this crowd, they all grumbled. He's gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and he said, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it to him fourfold. Okay, let's just back up into this story. Do you believe him? Jesus does. So Zacchaeus just wants to see him, but Jesus stops and sees him. What are you doing up in a tree, Zacchaeus? Why don't you come down? I'm going to stay at your house today. I specifically am coming in because of blind beggars like you. Even if you got everything, even if you got the world under the control, you have nothing and you see nothing and you can't. Your stature, you're short and you're blind, actually. Come on down. And shocked, he goes and follows, and everyone's going, what? What do you want to go with him for? This is the guy that's cheating the people that you're supposed to be here to save. The complaints against God reaching out to the worst people. And Jesus is going to do it, regardless. Why? Because the person is precious. Whether they're a blind beggar sitting outside of the city that everyone's trying to hush, or whether it's going to be the rich one that's ripping off everybody, and Jesus is touching each of those lives. That is the Christmas. First in the manger, but that's the one who keeps going into cities, keeps invading into lives, keeps coming relentlessly. And then Zacchaeus, unbid by Jesus, says, he recognizes his sin. He says, okay, half of what I own, it's going to poor people. Whether something's going to get to Bartimaeus, I don't know. Half, okay, that's a lot of cash. But then more than that, he says, if I have frauded anyone, okay, that's about the whole population. If I've defrauded anyone, Not just repay them, not even double their money. I'm going to give them four times the amount of money. I don't know what he had left after he's got done with that. And no doubt his job, if he was going to be truly changed, was never going to be cheating people again. And what does Jesus say when he hears these words? Because apparently he was sincere and he was going to do it. And with this, he disappears off the pages of the Bible. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The Son of Man came. That's Christmas. And why did he come? He came to change lives and invade them, even if people didn't invite him, even if they can't see him, even if they're wondering about him, even if their lives aren't ready for them. Jesus is there. I'm coming to your house, and that is going to happen today, and I'm going to live there. That is the marvel. God comes in to the world, whether we're ready for him, whether we can see him, but he comes in the person of Christ, in history, in actual physical flesh. And now his spirit lives within his followers, and they are being used by him to further that whole Christmas entrance, so that God introduces you to who Jesus is through people whom he has already changed. And they introduce you to the gospel story and say, this man is still changing lives. Christmas is still happening. Not in the sense in which we have a tree decorated and just limiting to that, but that there is a person who's entering into my heart and changing me, and my life action and habits and lifestyle are altered. I'm not just making a little profession of faith and saying, hey, Jesus came to my house. No, I'm saying I've done wrong and I got to change that, and I have to do recompense. I have to be just. I need to be righteous. I need to have integrity. Why? To get into heaven? No, because I'm already going there because Christ has changed me, and that proves that there's a change. And that's why Jesus said it's not the well that need a doctor, it's the sick. Christ came in not just to pat people on the back. He couldn't do that anyways because no one is perfect. No one is righteous. But he came to set them straight and came to make them righteous. That's why, even as Momo was singing, fall on your knees. Because if we don't respond to Christmas with God entering into time and space, into people's lives, if we don't allow him to do that in our life, then we've missed the point of it. Then it becomes a nice holiday and we move on and wait till the next one of whatever sort. This is not just merely one of religion, but this is actual our Creator that's coming in time and space to do this. And so the question I want to ask you tonight is, have you allowed God's Son, Christ, to have your heart, to have a place, to come in and to stay? Or is he just given a side room and quickly ushered out the door? We'll let you in for a certain holiday and then you can be on your way. Are we going to be like the rich young ruler, or are we going to be like Zacchaeus? Will we be someone who is called upon, who's seen by Christ and respond, coming down from the tree and all, or will we not? I was just recently in Bangladesh a couple of weeks ago, and there was at one point where we were in the northern part of Bangladesh, a very rural area, and I'll never forget as the men that I was training some of these boys who are orphans, and they put them in school, and we were out in the back and they were doing a traditional song that was celebrating Christmas. We couldn't understand the language, but it was celebrative. Everyone was dancing in a circle, and they had these big bongo drums, you know, they're banging away, and they had an accordion keyboard that was playing, and everyone was just shouting out whatever words they were saying, and we're all kind of dancing around, probably did 20 laps, you know, in a circle like this, and kind of, you know, doing all kinds of fun dancing. And all the neighbors that were around the property, they couldn't see because there was a wall there, so they started, these kids were climbing trees in order to see. And I couldn't help but think, Zacchaeus moments still happen, whether it's a kid that has no idea in a different religious context what these people are celebrating and why they're jumping up and down and saying this name of Jesus, celebrating his birth, of intrigue, sitting in a tree because they maybe want to see what's going on, or whether it's in a culture where we're familiar with who Christ is, but we haven't really responded to him. We haven't let him into the house. Which are you? Are you requiring to find out? Or is Jesus allowed to come into your heart today? Take that message and make sure that you are right with God through his Son, Christ. Let me pray. Then we're going to have some carol singing together to conclude our Christmas Eve service. Gracious God, we give thanks. We come to you and rejoice because we don't want to leave Jesus in the manger. The boy became a man, and that man was going into more towns than Bethlehem. Thank you, Father, for this story. It's just one of many. And may today we not allow Christ to pass by, but that we see him and we welcome him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.